Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of March 28th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me after the first weekend of baseball. Yeah, baby, baseball, games, actual games. It's Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, baby.
We actually had people throwing balls that mattered, and people trying to catch balls that mattered, and people swinging at balls that mattered. Wow. Beautiful. Everything mattered.
Wow.
Of course, it really doesn't matter because it's just one game out of 143, but...
Well, yes. But it's better than the antimatter.
True. Okay, you got me there.
Yeah.
All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Eagles slugger Johnny Gomes. We're going to talk about opening weekend and answer a great listener question. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, well, just before real, quote-unquote, baseball began, I had a chance to go out to Yokohama Stadium a week ago, and spoke with Johnny Gomes, who I'd been wanting to talk to for a while for a variety of reasons. You know, I had some burning questions like, is Petaluma in Marin County or Sonoma County? You know, those are the kind of things you think of when you're from the Bay Area.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yes, I know. Well,
confusing the rest of us.
Well, he cleared it up for me.
Okay.
I know Petaluma, but I wasn't certain about the county it's in. So anyway, so we sat down and had a chat. Johnny Gomes has had quite an interesting career. He was famous as one of the major leaguers who went through the little league ranks. And he's traveled and been everywhere, as he likes to tell you. And so it occurred to me, you know, I think since 2013, the Eagles have been trying to replicate this formula mm-hmm. of bring in the somewhat of a big name foreign player. And
somewhat. Kevin Euclid was a big name, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Euclid is a big name, and Andre Jones is a big name. Yeah. Now, Casey McGee wasn't, but he was the big, you know, he was the most productive of all those guys.
Yep.
And so anyway, but it didn't work out because Kevin Euclid, while he seemed like a great guy in the four or five words we had, I think I've got to go to a meeting. Then he was hurt and gone. But Andre Jones was big for the leadership he brought. At least it was sort of, as Brandon Duckworth said, everything went right that year, and he was part of everything going right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they've been trying to replicate that formula on the offense, and they've kind of failed miserably. And I think Johnny Gomes is a good attempt in that vein. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he wrote in the Players Tribune that he had been lucky to play baseball and win championships in different places around the world, and he had been looking forward to adding Japan to his resume. So I was curious to see what he had to say. And so now you can hear what he had to say. Hi, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast is California native, my homeboy, Johnny Gomes. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you got it, absolutely.
Okay, now you just joined the Eagles, but it's been kind of a long, interesting process that got you here. Can you, it wasn't a sudden thing. You weren't suddenly dumped in Japan and asking, where was I?
Yeah, no. I've researched this league, researched this team, for a while, making the jump over here this year, 2016, but there was times, I'd say probably about three separate times where I almost did make the jump coming over here, so I was educated, a little bit, came over here in 2012 with the Oakland Athletics, so kind of got my feet wet with the Japanese style there, and as we stand right now, I'm extremely happy with my decision.
Okay, now, you didn't come before. What were some of the reasons you didn't come? It was a better offer or just a better thing for your family?
I was, still chasing that World Series.
Okay.
Still chasing, the service time, in the big leagues. We all want to try and get to that 10-year. So, you know, once I max those two out, you know, I've decided to, you know, take a little a different turn in the fork in the road.
You kind of became a career free agent at that point. You could pick and choose more.
Yeah. Kind of journeyman, you will, and I guess you could say fortunately and unfortunately, you know, bouncing around. But you know, with that being said, I played under some great managers, played under some, you know, great general managers. You know, a bunch of, you know, organizations from East Coast to West Coast to the Midwest to big market, small market. So, you know, I'm fortunate to have the baseball knowledge and the, you know, baseball memories that I have now.
Well, you know, you told me that you call yourself, you became addicted to baseball. What about it do you love the most?
I mean, everything, you know. I love, you know, I you know, tell people everyone will fall in love with baseball if you can find out what's going on before the pitch and after the pitch.
Okay.
You know, everyone wants to talk about the action, right? You know, when he pitches and the hit and then all the stuff. But what goes into that? You know, the third base coach signs, the strategy, you know, what happens in the second inning will determine what happens in the eighth inning, you know. You know, you can kind of watch, you know, like basketball, you know, and you just end up watching the last 3 minutes, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, baseball, you know, there's something that happens in the first that's going to determine what happens in the ninth, you know. So, you know, the more you soak in, the more knowledge you get, the more interesting this game gets.
Well, certainly the sequences all depend on, you know, what happened before and what happened.
Yeah.
And the timing is all different. The starter's going a certain number of times and the relievers.
Yeah.
And okay, really interesting. So obviously, you know, from that standpoint, coming to Japan is a real good, you're looking forward to an eye-opener, I guess, in the way they approach the game and how those sequences are going to envelop.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, I'm over here to, you know, play baseball and help the team win. But, you know, at the same time, just really having all my doors open and being a sponge, if you will, and just soaking up as much as I can to what works here that wouldn't work in the States.
Right.
What works in the States that wouldn't work here, and vice versa. You know,
sure.
What can I bring here from the States to help the ball club or help an individual, and vice versa, you know, when, you know, who knows when my time here is done, you know,
right,
to take back. So it's kind of like, I'd say, like, kind of getting my master's, if you will, you know.
Okay.
It's, you know, going, you know, you graduate and then,
right,
you know, go to another school for your master's. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's an interesting analogy. Now, obviously, you've watched Japanese players play in the States, and you've seen the way they play. And obviously, in your time in the majors, Major League Baseball has shifted more and more to hit, you know, swing and miss, hit the home runs. And now you're coming to the land of the small ball.
Yeah, which is you know, kind of tough on me, you know, a little, I'm not putting pressure on myself, but I mean, power hitter, strike out, you
right,
know, that's just part of the game, you know, and I strike out in the States, and I strike out here, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, there's no strikeout, but it's like, so, you know, I got to, you know, get myself into the, you know, style of the contact and, you know, the strikeouts, not frowned upon, but, you know, they just don't do it over here because they can handle the bat so much.
I think frowned upon is probably the right word.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it was a nice home run, but you also struck out once.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, you know, just, you know, learning everything I can.
Okay, now, a lot of people have told me that the essential challenge for a hitter here, obviously you're looking at a very broad number of broad issues, but the challenge for the hitter is learning to hit the curveball off the fastball, learning to hit the slider off the fastball, and being better at those adjustments. Has this been an issue for you so far?
Well, you know, which is luck for me is I'd say kind of later on in my career, you know, I mean, I came in and, you know, I could hit a fastball, you know, any speed, had no problem. You know, I love the fastball. You know, the league kind of figured that out, and there in the league, you know, I started to see more breaking balls, you know, and they made the adjustments there. I'd say the last, you know, couple years in the big leagues, I've kind of known as hitting the off-speed really well.
Okay.
So as far as seeing a lot of off-speed here, I'm kind of excited about it. You know, I'm an off-speed guy. But I think the difference here, which is really unique, is so there's almost no count,
right?
You know, like, like when you talk about hitters count in
that's
the States,
American,
you know, 2-0, 3-1, you know, stuff like that. I mean, when I seen the first pitch of the game be a split and the guy swinging, I'm like, whoa, you know, or, you know, the style of, you know, in the States, you want to wear down the starting pitcher. You want to, you know, obviously the magic number is 100, you know, I mean, there'll be a guy who throws 100 pitches, you know, through five innings, and he's done. Whether he gives up no runs, you know, but you just can't really go above 100. And over here, pitch count doesn't matter, so there's no point, you know, in wearing down, you know, the starter.
Well, it doesn't, but it's changed. I mean, it used to be the case, you know, getting 200 pitches, he's still fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
But certainly, there is that, of course, of the great contact. These guys are really good at making contact, and that's, I guess, both a lesson and, I don't know, what, bit of history there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting over here. You know, like in the States, I mean, you have like a, you know, 8, 9, 10 pitch at bat, you know, even if you didn't get on, that's a great at bat, you know, because you got a pitch count up. Like over here, it's, there is no great at bat. You get a hit or you don't. You know, it's like, you know, like you have a 10 pitch at bat and you got out. It's not a good at bat. You know, it doesn't matter. You know?
Welcome to the land of the broken bat, lucky hit, single hero.
Yeah.
Who had the best at bat of the game.
Yes.
Swinging at a pitch you shouldn't have swung at.
Yeah. I mean, we have guys, you know, I mean, there's guys in the States that, you know, are known for seeing a lot of pitches. You know, you get a guy who's got, you know, 4 at bats and he saw 23 pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great team player and, you know, help get starter out and into the bullpen. And over here, that's not really the case.
Yeah. You lined out 4 times. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Extra BP for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us and hope you enjoy the season.
Yep. All right.
And we look forward to seeing you in November when the season wraps up with the Japan Series.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Gomes. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Johnny, and I look forward to meeting you. As I always say.
Oh, okay.
When you do the interviews with guys I haven't met yet. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I always say that.
It was fun, and I didn't do it on the air, but Petaluma is in...
You forgot.
Sonoma County, because I get 2 wine country counties mixed up.
Oh, okay.
It's in Sonoma County, where I went to Sonoma Junior College.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I really enjoyed talking with him. First of all, for a variety of reasons. One, he's just so darn enthusiastic.
Seems that way. Very energetic guy.
So what would you like to comment about?
You know, I'm familiar with Johnny Gomes. I remember him mostly in his days with the Boston Red Sox, and remember him hitting a pretty important home run in the playoffs for them. And this was a quick chat, but it was packed with a whole lot of fodder for conversation, I thought. I think what stuck out in my mind was that he seemed to be contradicting himself a little bit. And I'll ask him about it when I meet him and just, you know.
That's right. Demand it. Fess up. Go.
And, you know, obviously I haven't met him yet, so I'll have to apologize. But he said he did his research before coming to the team, but then he seemed to not know. I mean, he went and talked about the same old thing that we hear about the fastball counts and guys starting off a game with a splitter or a forkball and the batter swinging at it and he couldn't believe it. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a contradiction. Maybe he just his research didn't revolve so much around the baseball itself, but around the things that we don't see as fans and reporters, which is the daily life outside or away from the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And that stuff is important. And I often on the show mention that those things are important and it helps the players settle in and get used to playing baseball here because it's part of what they do. They just don't go home and think about baseball the whole time, as Zealous Wheeler told us last year. He doesn't even watch it.
Well, unless you're Matt Merton.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and your kids aren't around.
Right. Yeah. Different things for different guys. And so, and the second one was the second contradiction I heard in there was that he said, hey, you know, I'm here. I want to win. I'm here to do everything. But he wrote a story in the Players Tribune about his decision to come to Japan. And in that story, he mentioned at the end that he's here 100% for the Eagles. But if some team in the major leagues needs a player and, you know, we'll have to see how it's going here. And I kind of seemed like, I just felt to me that that was kind of a contradiction, that maybe he is here and he's 100% in, and I think he's going to give it his all. But those things kind of seem to be going in different directions for me. But he talked about some great aspects about the Masters. And I know that that's the thing that's probably going to stand out for you, but that he's getting his Masters here in Japan, that you go to different schools to get different degrees, and that he's continuing his education in baseball, and that he's getting his Masters here in Japan. And I thought that was really clever and a really good insight and a good way to look at how he's going to go through his experience in Japan.
Well, I guess I should have asked how many credits he needs. but yeah, I
for
mean
for graduation or just to get through the next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read the article, and it was so bubbly and upbeat and cheerful and gosh darn lovable. You just
like an Andy Griffith show.
It was indeed. It was really good. You know, it was really good without being sickly sweet. And I did enjoy speaking with him because he's just so gosh darn infectiously enthusiastic. You just want to be enthusiastic there along with him, you know?
Right, and right.
I thought about his career, and he's one of these not high average, you know, he's one of these medium average guys who draws a ton of walks and hits home runs. And you know, that's a good, you know, well, that's Andrew Jones at his stage of the career. Of course, you know, when we heard they got Andrew Jones, we thought, wow, they're going to have a center fielder. And then we saw Andrew Jones and said, oh, well, they're going to have a big DH.
Right.
So, but, you know, he seems to want to play. I read the article, and I didn't think he was contradicting himself any more than he was. As much as he had researched coming to Japan, you know, the future is still unresolved, and what it's going to be and what's going to happen is not certain or clear to even him at that stage, obviously. Although he said, you know, the way free agency works in Japan is different, and that is true. It's very rare that players, you know, leave in the middle of the season from Japan to go back to the majors.
Right.
It's very common to do the other way around.
Or get booted from Japan to go back to the majors.
Just doesn't happen. It just don't happen because, you know, they're going to keep you on the farm team basically until August. So that doesn't happen. But in any case, it was good fun. I want to apologize to the audience for trying to amalgamate the words unfold and develop into the word envelop, which is already a word.
See how with a different meaning, right?
Yeah.
Than what envelop. You intended.
They're going to envelop.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was I caught a couple of my new vocabulary items in there, but I will not dwell on them too much. Right. But I guess the interesting thing to me, when he said it, I was thinking about you, which is the bit about, you know, how in what way are you addicted to baseball? And I'm addicted to what goes on, what goes after, what goes before, what's surrounding it, all the little gears that are turning to create that moment, which I really like as well. But I know you just eat that stuff up.
Yeah, I think one of the first times I took a date to a baseball game, and I said, look, if you go to a baseball game with me, it'll seem a lot faster because I'll be asking you all these questions and all these things that what decisions you want to make before each pitch, and you won't have time to decide, and you'll see how fast the game actually moves if you think along with it. But it's very difficult unless you know the players, and you got to learn who can do what, who's a good base dealer, who hits fastballs but has trouble with off-speed pitches, or who pulls the ball a lot, and what catchers have good arms and what pitchers have good moves, and all these things that go into stealing a base or putting on a hit and run, and all these things. So, you know, and I eat that stuff up, and I think about it a lot. And that was one of the things that really stood out to me about, you know, when he said all the things that go into, you know, what happens before the pitch is made, and what brings up the next pitch, and what impacts, what what actions early in the game impact things that happen later in the game and all that stuff. Yeah, I did eat that part up.
That's a better way to say it than he said. It actually impacts, because he said sort of like what happens in the second inning determines what happens in the eighth inning. And I was saying, well, then why do we bother playing the eighth inning?
Let's just go straight to the end, babe.
That's right. Well, we already know. Let's hang
cut to the chase.
Exactly. So, but he was, that's what he was saying. You know, that's what he was meaning. And I heard that. So yeah, I was, you know, you could have said it better, but you know, that's just me being snarky. So, anyway, the other thing is I wanted to mention, because we had there was a discussion on Bill James Online the day after I talked to Mr. Gomes. There was a discussion in Bill James Online in the Hey Bill section, mm-hmm. and somebody was talking about the players who moved to Japan in the middle of their careers, and a few of names came up, and I wanted to mention Gomes, and I was thinking, okay, so I mentioned some history there, and then Gomes told me, you know, that he maxed out his pension. You know, 10 years, you're maxed out. You're gonna get as much as you're gonna get, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's my understanding. And so he felt free to come. You know, that, and he'd been on two World Series winners. Mind you, didn't play much on the last one, but he'd been on two World Series winners and maxed out his pension. So I've thought about going to Japan in the past, so I'm going. And I mentioned that, and Bill James said it was just something he could say in an interview, that's all. Gomes is finished as a major league player, but if you ask him about it, he's not going to say that he's going to Japan because he's finished as a major league player. He's really a positive person. So he's going to give you a positive reason why he wanted to go to Japan. Hell, he's been wanting to go to Japan since he was 7 years old. Which I liked, because he is a really positive person. So he really nailed that one.
Yeah.
Of course, they were both James works for the Red Sox and Gomes was with the Red Sox. So yeah, I think he's got that element of it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I got that feeling too. I got that sense that he was really positive. But again, you know, I think even in his Players Tribune story that he wrote, he said, "Hey, look, he talked about the Japanese league, said they're legit. They're not JV, and they don't want leftovers from the big leagues and that kind of stuff." And I'm thinking, yeah, but
they'll take them.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they don't want leftovers who don't want to be here.
Well, they don't want leftovers who aren't able to produce.
That's right. And yeah, so if they're able to produce and they don't want to be here, you know, more power to them.
So yeah, I really enjoyed the talk. I mean, like I said, the whole, everything he said was worth actually talking about and bringing up in the chat. I know we don't have time to do it, but I thought it was really good for a short interview and good questions and everything. It was really fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's move on and keep talking about the Eagles. I want to talk about Louis Okoye. He made the first team. We suspected he would. And I wrote a blog post, I guess, just before they announced the opening day rosters. And I said, look, the new old skipper, Masataka Nashidek, really, and the whole organization, they can't get this wrong, because, you know, if they really feel like he's going to be a face of the franchise guy, then, yeah, I say, yeah, put him on the first team and bring him along slowly. If they think he just needs time to build up his confidence, then send him to the farm and bring him up at a later time. But don't get this wrong. Don't mess it up so that it takes him a longer time to develop.
Yeah, don't just, you know, the cautionary tale here is Shonakata.
And how do they compare?
Well, Shonakata was the big deal coming out of high school. And Nashida was in his first year as manager of the Nippon Ham Fighters. And basically he thought the way to bring Nakata up is to make him do a position he doesn't want to play. By turning him into a third baseman during spring training.
Yeah,
which he was absolutely incapable of being.
Yeah.
You wanted to push him somehow. And then, you know, and you let him pitch a little bit and you let him do. But it was so, it was like trying to fit him into a third baseman mold was like a waste of a year.
Definitely.
And it took him quite a while. It is hard, to be honest. It's hard to make the jump from Kamigaya in the hitters, which is the most hitters friendly park in a very hitters friendly league,
mm-hmm.
to the Pacific League and Sapporo Dome.
Yep.
It's a hard jump to make because things just don't. The physics are different, and then the pitchers are, you know. And then in addition to that, the fields are different, the crowds are different, the players, the quality of the players is vastly different. So it's just like adding one more, you know, one more brick on that wall. So, but, and then on top of that, we're going to make you balance on one foot while you're trying to learn third base. So that was kind of a mistake. So, but they didn't say to Okoye, well, we want to do you. You know, what I meant as a cautionary tale is we're not going to give you something that you're not familiar with to challenge you.
Yeah, I didn't know what, and I still don't know. I don't know if it was the right move to bring him up or the right move to, and, you know, they're doing exactly what we talked about in an earlier show, which is, hey, bring him off the bench, have him steal some bases, be a defensive replacement. Of course, it's only one weekend, so I don't think this is what the long-term plan is for him, but yeah, it's going to be a hard outfield for him to crack, I think, if he doesn't hit. And not to say that they've got, you know, that's another thing. I got questions about Nashida putting Kazuo Matsui in center field, because we know he couldn't make throws from short to first base. And, you know, to have him out in center field is just a joke. But I know this is a temporary situation. I know it.
Have they received the ransom notice for Hijiri Sawa yet? You know, we're wondering what happened to him. I guess somebody kidnapped him, who sounded like he might not be a Japanese native.
Maybe he just kidnapped himself, or somebody's holding his bat hostage.
I was gonna say that could be.
Yeah,
could be.
But so I just hope that they get this right, and I like the way they're bringing him along a little bit, getting him in some games. They got him in a close game late, and he caught a couple routine fly balls, and that was good. He stole a base the other day after, you know, I thought the pitcher it was Barrios of the mm-hmm. Hawks. I thought he threw over there seven times, but officially they said six. So I think he made more pitches to first than he did to the plate. And then the kid still stole the base, which I'm not sure he was there before the throw, but he might've beaten the tag. So, you know, whatever, that was good. It's exciting. You know, he didn't do very much, and yet he had his own stories. He had interviews. He had interviews in newspapers and on TV. So he's bringing some excitement to the team, and the team did okay in that first series. I was impressed with the way it competed. They had a chance. Basically, the Eagles had a chance to, I guess you could call it a de facto sweep, because they had a tie in the middle game on Saturday, and they went into Sunday with a chance to win. If they just could have gotten a run somewhere before the ninth inning, or in the ninth inning when they put some runners on, they would have won that game. But you can't keep a good team down. I think the Hawks took out some frustrations, as I tweeted, and they scored seven runs in the 10th inning and went ahead and won on Sunday. So they went 1-1-1 in the series. I thought it was really, really compelling stuff.
I think it was, and I agree with you about Okoye. I think he's just an exciting possibility, you know. And it, the fun thing about that is, I think with him, he's more than just hype, as we talked about in the spring. He's got some intelligence that's going to allow him to make these adjustments. And he's a heck of an athlete. So he's not one of these hyped kids who comes out of school because, you know, like a Shigeo Nagashima's son,
mm-hmm.
who was a huge star in college, but he came to the pros and he was just Nagashima's son.
Yeah.
He just wasn't of any value.
No, he wasn't. So not like that at all. So Okoye, in his first plate appearance, he actually walked. He drew a walk. And then in his first official at-bat, he popped up. And I don't know what he did today other than I think I saw somebody strike out that, who looked like him, but I was busy at the office. So, okay. Yeah, he struck out in the 10th inning. I made the last out of the game, it looks like. So, but, you know, that's the kind of experience he needs. And some other rookies, I think the rookies and the imports just had a really good weekend. It was really fun to watch them. I think the guy who, and, you know, I know he was hurt in the preseason, didn't get to see a lot of him. Masataka Yoshida of the Oryx Buffaloes, this kid can really swing it, man. And he had some good swings the whole weekend. Egoro Mogi of the Rakuten Eagles, he was playing shortstop for them. I saw him hit a couple home runs in the preseason, and I said, well, those are preseason home runs. These, you know, that's nothing. But then he got in the games, and he's making good contact. He could have easily had two hits in the first game, and they ended up being out. So he did well. Shun Takayama of the Tigers, woo! I think after the Swallows got swept over this weekend, you think they were, you think they had any thoughts of Manaka thinking that he had actually drafted this kid? Do you think they remembered when he had the fist pump and everything last October about thinking that they had gotten Takayama? And then if anybody was watching the TV broadcast, they went to commercial. And when they came back from commercial, we got the news that no, the Tigers had actually won, and Kanemoto hadn't even opened his envelope because Manaka was pumping his fist. And so this is the player who was involved in that mistake or that faux pas there. And boy, is he good. And I remember mentioning it on the show, I think it was, that Kanemoto said he's better than I thought he was.
Okay.
And he's had a super opening weekend. Yasutaka Tobashira. He's the first rookie with a home run. He's the DNA catcher, the Yokohama DNA catcher. He's the first rookie with a home run this season. So those are the guys who stood out for me. What about anybody for you, rookie?
Well, you mentioned that, and it brings to mind the year when I believe Kokubo was a rookie. I don't remember which Hawk it was. It was either Kokubo or Tadahito Iguchi, and there was a lot of excitement about who's going to be the first rookie to hit a home run. It turned out to be Masaumi Shimizu of the absolutely punchless catcher of the Chiba Lotte Marines. Might have been the last home run he ever hit.
The first and the last. See you, buddy.
But yeah, I mean, Tobashira is a guy who basically he's there because they like his ability to call pitches straight out of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for him to have any offense, and he did have a couple of hits, so it was a very impressive weekend for him. They got a lot of mileage out of their starting pitchers, which was good. So anyway, Jurihara had a decent start
For the other Swallows.
Correct. Some of the other rookies.
Their consolation pick again after they didn't get Takayama.
Some of the other rookies, pitchers didn't get a very splashy debut.
So let's just talk about opening weekend then. The biggest thing that I took away from the weekend is that the Pacific League has no home runs after three games. That is so weird.
It is weird. You would have think, you know, Johnny Gomes is there. He might hit a home run, but I guess nobody.
Somebody somewhere. And I think Canizares had a long drive that stayed in the park. And Mogi, we talked about, he had a drive that the announcer said the wind blew back into the park. And so I take their word for it.
Yeah. And Alfredo Destaña is there. And
the Marines hit a couple balls that looked like they could have gone out. And maybe the wind was blowing the wrong direction at that particular time.
Ernesto Mejia hit one to about as deep as you can hit it in Cebu Prince Dome without it being a home run.
All right, so yeah, the home runs were a big deal. The new skippers, Alex Ramirez won the opener.
Mm-hmm.
Yoshinobu Takahashi of the Giants won his opener.
Mm-hmm.
But the excitable, and I'm really impressed with Kanemoto behind the bench or on the bench with the Tigers, and he lost the opener but won the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, I didn't think I thought he was just going to be the stoical general or kind of a stern sergeant on the bench and not smile. Not
oh, you mean fun. Like he was as a player,
right? And he's smiling and jumping around, and he's like the most excited. I think Alex Ramirez is the stoical, not so emotional guy on the bench.
Well, Takahashi's
he's kind of mellow.
Is he?
He seems mellow to me. He's not, you know, he smiled. You know, when Garrett Jones hit a home run on Sunday here to win that game in the eighth inning. And, you know, Takahashi kind of threw his head back, kind of laughing and was kind of surprised and then smiled and then went out to. But I think Kanemoto is just more excitable right now. That's the way it looks like. But, it, you know, these are early returns on guys who are just getting their feet wet in the in this pool of managing. So I don't know if I'm going to say that they're going to stay this way. But
yeah, I doubt we're not going to see the first of all, we're not going to see the same the same thing we saw as players. You know, somebody asked Alex Ramirez if he was going to do a performance. He says, I might teach the guy how to do one, but I'm going to do one as the manager. So we're not going to see Rummy Chan dancing. We're not going to see, I guess, the normal glowers and stares that we did as players.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I'd like to see him do something and go out with the players. It'd be nice, but that's fine. You know, yeah, he's a manager now. I'm gonna start calling him Rami Khan for the.
Okay.
Khan Toku is manager in Japanese, and that's close enough. I don't feel comfortable calling him Rami Chan anymore. So, if I call him anything,
it's I do because he's younger than me. I can get away with it.
All right.
I think he's younger than me.
Hashtag
high heat.
Yeah, I think. You're mean. Smack. I hope he's not listening. Nashida won his debut with the Eagles, and the team, like I said, competed well. And then with the Dragons, I think a big surprise for me, because this is Tanishige only as the manager, mm-hmm. and they won that first game, and they had 13 hits in the, you know, the bottom part of the lineup, six through eight guys were had six hits or something like that in that first game, and they basically helped him win the game. And but Diane Viciado of the Dragons has more home runs. He's got
more home runs than 10 teams, and six of those teams, as we just mentioned, are in the Pacific League.
Well, yeah, well, that means the Pacific League's dominance is over.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
I don't believe that for a second. So, there's only one Central League team that doesn't have a home run. Can you figure out which team it is, or are you looking at the stats already?
Me? No, I could probably figure it out. I'm going to say it's the Carps.
Yeah, it's the Carps. It's the Carpies.
Well, because I remember some of the other teams hitting home runs. That's why.
Right. All the PL home teams won on opening day, so that was interesting. And right. Then the Marines and Lions and Giants were in line for sweeps on Sunday. As at Coaster correctly guessed, it was the Giants who came away with the sweep. Mm. The other teams did not, so I thought that was interesting. Oryx really struggled on defense.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think there was some kind of bug going around Cebu Prince Dome from what I saw today. There was a lot of, weird or funhouse defense, or, you know, sort of like things you just don't expect to see.
Funhouse defense.
I'll tell you, like this one today was the Lions had a chance to get an inning-ending double play, or so pitcher Andy Van Hecken thought. I'm guessing. I haven't spoken. I will ask him about this.
Mm.
But he had a play on a bouncer back through the box, and mm-hmm. he pulled his hand back.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody said, something inside him said, wait, the shortstop will get it, easy double play, end of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the shortstop, like, I think stopped when he saw the ball go into the pitcher, or slowed down or something, because it just then rolled through the middle of the infield for an RBI single.
Mm.
And there were a couple of plays like that where players opted not to catch the ball. I think that's the best way of putting it. The game was radically different by players opting not to catch the ball. And then we had some really good plays on top of that. So it was weird. It was fun and games.
Fun and games, yeah. But not for the Oryx guys. And we know that this is not going to be their lineup for, I guess, the regular. Once Yo Adachi gets back to play shortstop, let's put it that
right.
way. We will figure something out. But this is not what we're going to see from them routinely. So I think it was that contributed to their bad start. But they avoided the sweep on Sunday. That was good for them. They barely escaped with a 5-4 win. So looks like it's going to be interesting. Well, it's going to be compelling baseball down there for the Oryx Buffaloes for about a month. Or I don't know. When do we expect Adachi back? Do you know?
Longer, because his illness is something that's chronic, and to the degree he can return to the field is nobody knows.
Good grief.
So they're going to need another solution, or I really don't know what the issue was. Nakajima looked like he hadn't seen a ball come. Well, he hasn't seen a ball come off the bat at shortstop in a long, long time, and it's different. And it's almost like he's forgotten what he's supposed to do there.
Yeah, and how to do it. Yeah, it was.
He looked really good when the ball was hit right to him, and he could go down on a knee, pick it up, and flip it to second base. He made two of those plays. I'm going, no, that's not what you do. That you're not getting paid to go down on take. You're not getting paid to take a knee, dude.
Yeah, well, I don't remember which game it was, whether it was the opener or the middle game, but he had a play like that where he made a bad throw to second. So it's not a good scene for him or the Buffaloes. They're gonna have to figure that one out. All right. Also the Giants, Takahashi wins his first three games. I think he's the first Giants manager to do that since Motoshi Fujita back in 1981 is what I heard. So
interesting.
Good stuff for him. The Giants, you know, I knew they're going to compete. I said that pickup Luis Cruz was really good. I can't figure out what the Marines were thinking. I still don't. I guess maybe cheaper and younger solutions, I guess they were thinking about second base. But the Giants are glad to have him. And he made a few really nice defensive plays for them through that in that series, and his defense is not going to slump, and he had a home run too. So it's a
really he had a home run and some good offense. So yeah.
All right, let's make a seamless transition and talk about the gambling scandal. And I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Well, because is there anything new about the gambling scandal?
No, I mean, during the week that we were off, the only thing that came down was on Tuesday, the commissioner came out with a one-year ban for the gambling pitcher, Giants pitcher, Kyosuke Takagi.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I thought was, what gives? I mean, the other three guys involved in that got indefinite bans. And
right.
What I read somewhere was because he came forward, he received a lighter punishment. So I possibly thought that this was a way that the commissioner wanted to encourage other people who might be involved with similar activities to come forward now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically sending the message, don't make us find you or you'll be sorry.
That's wow.
That's what I interpreted.
Did you ever hear that from your parents?
Yes.
Okay, I was just curious.
But I was a good
that.
Kid. I didn't hear it that often.
Okay. I was just curious because that sounded suspiciously something like, you know, this is a Family Feud. Five things a parent might say. None of the ones my mom or dad would have said would be speakable on television.
Well, let me tell you this. Well, you know, between my parents and myself, it was not Family Feud. It was family dictatorship.
Wow. Okay. So democracy's out the window. But no, I read the story on the Mainichi English website. I think it was from the Mainichi Shimbun translated story. Mm-hmm. And it was quite good. I think that was the gist of that was that Takagi was not only did he come forward, but he was the only player who came forward without compelling evidence that he, you know, they didn't say, you know, did you do this? No. Well, then how do you explain you doing this?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I did it. But he was the only one who did it. And under a great amount of duress, and that he was being threatened on a daily basis by people who are what they call in baseball terms, antisocial elements.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, you mentioned those guys before, and I don't want them talking to me.
So, okay. So that was, yeah. So that happened, and he got the year ban. And then after that, there's been all kinds of silliness, which I don't want to dignify.
Okay. Well, let's not. Let's make a four-seam transition and go to the guys who are chasing records and some of the guys who probably can get to them. The Cubs' Takahiro Arai is going for 2,000 hits. He needs 25 more, and 13 more home runs to get him to 300 in his career. The Marines' Kazuya Fukuda, one of my favorite players.
Mm.
He's going for 2,000 hits, but I think he's too far away. He's starting the season, he's needing 88 more hits to get to 2,000. And the last time he had more than 88 hits in a season was 2011.
Okay, he's an Ichiro Suzuki terror. He's a little behind Ichiro Suzuki in that area then, in the sense that it's really highly unlikely he'll get it this year.
Yeah, highly unlikely, and he's getting up there, so I don't know how much longer he's going to play. The Dragons, Masahiro Araki, he's chasing 2,000 hits. He needs 110. Close, and I think he might be getting close to being not playing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. He might stick around for another season if he doesn't get that.
Well, let me ask you, while I'm on this, you know, what's the chance that somebody like Fukuro will get to like 1,996 hits and nobody will want to sign him?
What are the chances?
Yeah. Zero?
Not zero. I'll say not zero.
Because he might, I guess the only thing is there, he's physically unable to play. Or, you know, that, I think that's it. If he's physically able to play, somebody will sign him and cash in on two hits and celebrate his career as a Rock 10 Eagle.
Cash in on two hits.
Hashtag high heat.
They'll have Fukuro 3,000 hit day, and then he'll play in the Eastern League.
All right. The Giants, Shuichi Murata, needs 15 more RBIs to reach 1,000 in his career. But he can get there. He can get there. Yes.
Well,
wake up.
He's still snoring.
All right. The Marines, Tadahito Iguchi, needs 32 RBIs for 1,000. I think he's right on the cusp. I think he can get there this year,
but
it's going to take some work for him. Now, Hitoki Iwase of the Dragons, the all-time saves leader, needs 11 appearances to reach 900.
It's doable if he's healthy. I mean, if he's serviceable, he'll get into 11 games.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue for him. And I don't know about that. But he doesn't want to go out being yanked from a game, is what he said. He wants to go out getting an out. So he might give up 10 runs. In the process, but if he gets that next guy out, he can leave after having gotten it out. That'd be nice for him, right?
Interesting.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this comes to us from Mike in Washington, D.C. It's an MP3. We love these MP3s, guys.
We do. All right, bring them on.
All right, here he is.
Hey, John and Jim. One of the big trends that happened last season in the MLB was defensive shifting. A lot of teams using spray charts to adjust their positioning for each hitter as they came up. Do you think NPB teams will adapt this strategy, or do you see them continuing to stick to their old alignments no matter who's at bat? Thanks.
All right, interesting. Yeah, the defensive shifts. I don't personally think we will ever see consistent defensive shifts in Japan because of the way hitters generally spray the ball around here. They're not trying to pull and hit the ball out. You don't see guys like Adrian Gonzalez or David Ortiz. I think the closest we have to deadpool hitter is maybe Johnny Gomes.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. You could probably see it against some foreign guys, but the problem here is if it's something you're going to be doing every game in different variations, something you're going to practice in spring training, because obviously just saying you're going to shift and it's like saying, hey, John, throw a changeup tomorrow. Huh?
Yeah, Don Mattingly in the LA Dodgers, let's shift in the playoffs and not cover third. Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah, you better practice it.
Exactly. So the benefit of doing it against a number of players who are dead pull hitters and who really don't have the skill set. And here's the other thing. A lot of dead pull hitters like Takuya Nakamura, he has the skill set to go the other way. He just doesn't do it. So if you shifted him, he just hit it to right field. He'd go like, oh, I'll take a single.
Yeah.
I'll bat 700.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, so I don't really see the extreme shifts coming. And I'm not calling Johnny Gomes a dead pull hitter. I just see him hitting a lot to left and swinging a lot trying to hit the ball to left. But you don't see Japanese players that way. You mm-hmm. know, I don't really know that many Japanese players who are just dead pole hitters.
Nope.
So I'm not saying that there aren't any out there, and that most of their guys might have success hitting that way. But I just don't see Japan going to that kind of. I don't see teams in Japan bringing foreigners who are just dead pole hitters over here either.
Well, we've had some.
We've had some.
William O'Pena was pretty much
when he made contact, but we won't speak ill of the departed, I should say.
Is that what you call going to Korea?
Well, he departed Japan.
Okay, fair enough.
Just the way that they teach kids how to play the game here, I don't think you're going to see too many pole hitters make it that far. You know, if you maybe Takoshian, and then that's about it. After that, you're not going to make it to MPB, I don't think, if you're just a pole hitter, unless you're hitting the ball over the fence a lot.
Well, speaking of Mr. Gomes, mm-hmm. we discussed this very point before the podcast interview, and he said, you can't see it because, you know, if you shift, overshift against a Japanese guy, you know, he'll just go the other way.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, end of that story. You couldn't do it. You know, that's why you don't see the shift against – well, you do see – but here's the thing. You do see different defensive alignments in the major leagues against players of that ilk, such as Norichika Aoki, which the Giants did in the World Series 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he – should have, you know, by all rights, he should have had the first hit in the game 7 against Madison Bumgarner, but the left fielder was playing 15 feet behind shortstop.
Right. Now, that's not to say that these teams don't use a lot of data, too, because they do position their guys to where they do move it. But I think we normally see our shortstops, middle infielders, and sometimes the outfielders take a few steps here and there.
Cheating, yeah.
Because they know certain guys do certain things. With certain pitches, and depending on who's on the mound, so you'd see a little movement, but not the extreme stuff. But they do use a lot of this data, and they do know where people tend to hit the ball, and they try to get in those spots. But yeah, nothing extreme. All right,
I agree.
All right, anyone else who has a question, please send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #highheat @JBWpodcast, or you can leave us a note on the Facebook page. Thanks a lot, Mike in D.C., for sending the question. We really appreciate it. And, baseball is going. We got one undefeated team, the Giants. We'll see how long they can remain undefeated or keep that winning streak going from the start of the season. All right, guys, enjoy your baseball.
Your real baseball, that is.
Live and exclusive from around the globe, America's network for global sports, One World Sports. Witness top soccer competition, including Europe's iconic clubs, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, and new this season, Juventus. With exclusive highlights, interviews, and analysis. Plus, NASL's greatest soccer franchise and 2015 champion, the New York Cosmos. Watch One World Sports on your TV, tablet, or smartphone. One World Sports, a sports network like no other.